Hey, good day, everybody. This is Dan Young with Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. In this episode, episode 270, we catch up with Patricia Finn. Patricia is a civil rights and vaccine injury attorney litigating cases to protect all of our health freedom rights in the United States against an out-of-control big pharma. Advocate for children, healthcare workers, soldiers, parents, and many others affected by medical mandates, the Finn firm has helped tens of thousands of families concerned about informed choice and avoiding unnecessary vaccinations. So, this is one of the most important episodes this year, I'll bet, on Total Wellness Radio, episode 270, with Patricia Finn. Hey, good day, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Total Wellness Radio. I have a very special guest joining me from the great state of New York. Patricia Finn is a civil rights and vaccine injury attorney litigating cases to protect all of our health freedom rights in the United States against an out-of-control pharma. Patricia is a strong advocate for children, healthcare workers, soldiers, parents, and many others who have been affected by medical mandates. And thank you so much for taking the time, Patricia, to be on Total Wellness Radio.
Thank you.
I feel very blessed. And also, I think it's very timely that you and I are having this conversation.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Yeah. How long have you been in this focus, this niche focus? And also for our listeners, what prompted you to take on such what seems to be a very monstrous task?
I started doing this kind of work in law school. I worked for an attorney that had handled a lot of these cases. And then I was very interested in constitutional law, First Amendment. And, you know, the minute I put up my shingle, I was deluged by parents looking to opt out of vaccines. And fortunately, my children, you know, they're not vaccinated. So I had no health issues related to that. It actually had nothing to do with risk or injury when I first was... we were talking before the show, you know, I was a real tough guy, you know, like, you can't make me do nothing, you know.
Sounds like me today.
Yeah, and that was it. And I would be like, what are you talking about injecting me or my children? And I just refused. I can tell you the earliest refusal of my own vaccines, I was about 10, and my mother put me on my bike and said, go down the street to the doctor and get your polio. And I remember I wrote, you know, I had this cool little bike with, you know, banana seat and,
right,
you know, chopper. It was a chopper. And I sat outside the doctor's office for a few minutes, and I was like, oh, polio. I was only 10. I was like, it doesn't sound good. I don't think I'm going to go in there. So I rode around for a little while, and then I went home. And of course, my mom said, did you go and get it? And I said, of course I did. I got two of them. I got extra. And so that was my first resistance. And never stopped.
Yeah. Did you yourself personally suffer any type of ill effects from those vaccines that you know of for yourself personally?
No, when I was a kid, no, but I do believe my brother did. And at the time, the doctors were saying it was equine encephalitis or mosquitoes. And there was a lot of funky stuff going on at Plum Island with zoological experiments, Lyme disease. You know, Lyme, Connecticut is a half a mile off coast of Plum Island.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, the tick-borne Lyme illness comes from. And then, you know, there was discussion, this was in 1966, of equine mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back then, nobody really knew about it. And, you know, no one really knew why my brother had gotten sick. But he was very sick. He was in a coma. And we did get MMRs. And we all got mumps and from the vaccine. And then after, he did not recover. Mm. So, but I will tell you, I did not put that together until only recently.
Okay.
I was discussing it with my mother, and, you know, she happened to mention, and then a lot of it, I was very little, I was five, he was six. And, you know, I mean, I remember him being sick and my mom, my dad carrying him out, and he was in a coma.
Oh,
I remember those horrible experiences.
Yeah.
I did not put it all together. But of course, there's no way to prove it. Now we've got better proof.
Ah, thank you. So let me ask you this from your experience. How long have you been practicing a constitutional law approach to helping people, soldiers, parents, children avoid these vaccines? How long have you been actually involved in that?
20 years.
Okay. So in your 20 years.
I started in law school and then I opened my practice in 2003.
Okay.
And again, you know, I really did not understand even my own religious beliefs contrary to vaccinating. And, you know, as a young parent, there's a lot of pressure to vaccinate and I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, parents are shamed into thinking they're bad if they don't vaccinate. But I've had the privilege of counseling many, many parents on this topic. And I then grew my own appreciation about the prohibitions in the Bible, you know, whether you believe in the Bible or not,
yeah,
or even the Quran. It certainly talks about prohibitions or mixing human blood and animal blood and human DNA, et cetera. And, you know, that's what's in the vaccines, including insect parts. And now I'm learning about, well, you're a scientist, so you know the gain of function.
Yes.
I just learned about that last week. I mean, I knew it was funky. There was something wrong. You know, I knew the shots were made hypervirulent and attenuated and contagious and all these things that sounded very kooky to me. I was like, how can they do that? But then a doctor explained to me they recycle the disease through animals. And that's how they achieve gain of function. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is like Frankenstein.
It's bizarre. It's Black Age medicine at best.
I tried to big case last year in New York, I actually proved there was no measles epidemic. You would think that never happened. I talk to health officials all the time and they're like, you're aware of the measles epidemic. And I'm like, are you aware that a Supreme Court judge ruled there was no epidemic? And, you know, yeah.
Is it the same judge that I hope is working on the current supposed pandemic?
Well, there's a lot of action in New York right now. No, this judge, he was somewhat of a leader because back then, I guess the point the reason I raised that case is I remember during oral argument, my co-counsel or co-attorney in a related case, they combined us. He got up and he argued religion and he said it had nothing to do with science. And then I got up and I said, it has everything to do with science. And there is no science, okay? There's none. And if you're going to tell me that they're safe and all this other stuff, you know, show me the proof.
Yep.
And there is no proof. Right now, my two cases, one is in the appellate division in New York State, and the other is in the Supreme Court. And so you can't get much higher than that.
Right.
We make the law in circuit.
Yes. Yes.
What am I going to say?
Talk to my listeners about this notion or this experience of called shedding. Is that actually a part of people who've been exposed to, who've had vaccines, where they become a little more reactive and even in some cases contagious, can spread the problem rather than isolate themselves from it? Is there any validation to shedding?
Sure, yeah, there's a lot of research, and in the medical package inserts for the vaccines, you know, you're told that you can shed them for up to 28 days. Okay. And so therefore, you know, say if you have small children, they're being vaccinated, or even a pet, you know, God knows what these pets are getting. And then they're, you know, the cat's playing with the baby or the dog, and you know, there's shedding going on. And in the first 6 weeks of school, kids are shot up like crazy. You know, yep. They have to catch up. They have to get all these vaccines. So in that very limited window, when school starts to like about October 15th, and then Halloween, right? So then you got all the kids out sticking their hands in the candy. And it's just, it's such bizarre science. But I mean, non-vaccinated kids that are, you know, not showing vectors, I guess is the word.
Vectors, yes.
They are not the risk. The risk of transmission is from the newly vaccinated. And it definitely happens.
Would it be fair to say, and I know this is a very most recent topic, I know it's one you're following very closely. Is there any validation to the notion that because we're going into cold and flu season, is there the possibility that all these people running around getting the flu vaccine and with the massive testing for COVID-19 that's taking place, is there any idea or research or anything to substantiate that the spike, the rise in numbers regarding that and people running around getting flu vaccines like crazy the last 30 days or so, coupled with the increase in testing, is there any validation to suggest that those spike in testing could be because of the flu vaccine?
Well, you know, there is research that talks about this type of priming, that the flu vaccine is actually a primer and can make you more susceptible to COVID. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not giving anybody legal advice. You could medical advice or legal.
Sure. No, we get that.
You know, look up what I'm saying, but sure. I can give you a perfect example. In Lombardy, in Italy, at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a lot of attention on this outrageous number of cases. Now, personally, I don't believe there is COVID. I mean, I know there's a coronavirus and there's always nothing new, but right. If you shine the light on it and scare the death out of everybody, it becomes a pandemic.
Yes.
So with all due respect to anybody who's lost someone or suffered and sure. believes it to be true, I respect that. But yeah. I ask you respect my learned opinion. And it is, you know, there is nothing new going on.
Correct.
Do I think you can have a pandemic? Yes.
Certainly.
I think you can actually cook up something so wild that it could end in tragedy. But corona is not it, this particular corona.
Yeah.
So about the Lombardy. The research out there was in November prior to the outbreak or prior to the alleged perceived outbreak. There were experimenting with an experimental flu vaccine. Okay, it was some funky flu strain. And the population in Lombardy, it was elderly, unhealthy. There was a lot of toxins in that part of Italy. And, you know, so when you ask, do the vaccines cause it? In Lombardy, there was a lot of subsequent research to explain the outbreak there. And it was attributed to priming by a flu vaccine. So I think that, you know, it's just mad science, and God knows what they do to you.
Yeah.
Nobody knows, not even the court. The court, in a decision called Alton versus HHS, I can quote it right. I think it said, medical science is a field bereft of direct knowledge of how vaccines affect the body. And if the court is saying that, if the vaccine court is saying that, then I guess we know nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't mean to blather on, but in vaccine court, you don't actually prove causation. You know, if you win or you even try a case, you don't, even if you win, it doesn't mean that you actually prove the vaccine caused the injury or death. It's entitlement. If you fall in this narrow table, or you prove causation outside the table, but under these restrictions, you know, you have to have a close temporal proximity, a recognized reaction, and a logical sequence. So if you meet that three criteria, which also comes from Alton versus HHS, then you're entitled to compensation.
So is it, you know, there's a lot of, you know, unfortunately the internet is amazing and also not so amazing in many ways, but there's a lot of information that suggests that these vaccine manufacturers are exempt from making right when their product has been shown to be, you know, in some cases life-threatening, in many cases, you know, health adverse after these people have been injected with them. What is your knowledge of that to be true? Are these companies really exempt? And
oh yeah,
yeah,
yes, it's a no fault liability, and it's not uncommon in the law to have no fault for, you know, dangerous products. But in 1986, Congress enacted the Vaccine Act. It was signed into law by President Reagan, and it basically gives vaccine manufacturers no liability for vaccine injury.
Wow.
And it was designed to encourage vaccine makers to stay in the market. And on that point, because there had been some lawsuits from DTaP and swine flu and these supposedly, you know, crazy jury awards, and the vaccine companies were threatening to withdraw from the market. So the Congress passed the No Fault Liability Act and then set up the compensation program in order to compensate you if you were injured. And that's what I was talking about. It's not causation per se, it's entitlement. And, you know, if your kid gets an MMR or a shoulder injury, if you're a healthcare worker, you get a flu shot, there's a shoulder injury, that is a typical vaccine case. Although they're removing those because they're claiming it's not necessarily the vaccine, but the way it was injected.
So execution error.
Yes. So what that does then is it decreases the appearance of the numbers of awards being granted for vaccine compensation. It's been $4.5 billion since the program was enacted. And over the last few years, the largest number of cases have been healthcare workers with shoulder types of injuries.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So anyway, on no-fault liability, in 2000, there was a case called Brisovitz v. Wyeth. And in that case, Hannah Brisovitz had gone to vaccine court and was denied compensation for DTaP injury. The case made it all the way to the Supreme Court, and there was a split there. And the Supreme Court held, the majority held, that the Vaccine Act precluded all design defects. Okay, I'll explain that in a minute. But now, you know, in shielding liability, that means you can't get them for a design defect. And this is where unavoidably unsafe vaccines come from. The reasoning of the court, of the majority, was that all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Okay, so Congress intended there to be no liability for that. In the dissent, which was Justice Sotomayor and Justice Ginsburg, it was an extremely powerful dissent written by Justice Sotomayor. And she basically said, no, you know, that is not what Congress intended, because the act left open the ability for somebody to go into state court and sue. Now you can't do that. That unless you can prove fraud, which is what I am attempting to do now. And I'm arguing that, or the fraud or the withholding of evidence.
Okay.
If the farm milk companies are sitting on evidence, manipulating evidence, know of evidence of vaccine harm, and it is not being disclosed, then all bets are off and they do not get the no-fault liability. Okay. And with respect to the MMR and mercury-containing vaccines, we have, you know, concrete evidence that the government and Merck knew, allegedly, that those vaccines were causing brain injury. And my client was brain injured 20 years ago. So he was denied compensation, but anybody who's following this knows, if they've seen the movie Vaxxed or read about Dr. Thompson, Dr. Thompson came out and he said, well, we lied, you know, or at least, let me rephrase that, that CDC had evidence of MMR being linked to autism and destroyed it. And they altered the data and then submitted it into vaccine court. My client went to vaccine court and lost. So now that case is in the Supreme Court right now. But in addition to that, this big guy now, he's 20. He needs to get another vaccine, another measles vaccine, MMR. And he can't get an exemption under state law because the courts are not recognizing MMR causes autism. How's that for... Put
what?
That in your pipe and smoke it. You want me to repeat? It's like crazy. So let me see if I understand
what you just said. His case hasn't been ruled on, therefore there's no exemption for him to avoid being forced to get a measles vaccine?
No, his case was ruled on, and it was found that the MMR does not cause autism 10 years ago.
Okay.
And then... 4 years after that, in 2014, Dr. Thompson came out and said, that's not true. We do know, and we did know. We knew in 2002. Well, this kid was injured in 2000, but there was other evidence to show that before my client was vaccinated, the government and Merck knew that mercury and the MMR were causing autism. And they concealed that evidence in vaccine court. Uh-huh. And if you'll remember when I told you, you don't prove causation, you prove entitlement. And you know how you prove entitlement? You submit the vaccine inserts and CDC guidelines on vaccines. And if they disclose an injury, it's generally compensable. But because they're withholding evidence that MMR causes autism, not only did he get gypped out of compensation, he now needs another MMR vaccine.
Oh, no.
And if something happens to him, he cannot get compensated because he already lost in vaccine court 10 years ago.
What would make him need another vaccine?
To reside in a group home in New York.
No. Unbelievable. You're... You must have the patience of Job.
Well, I will tell you this, that, you know, I've had the tar beat out of me over the last 20 years. You know, this was not a lucrative endeavor by any means. I live in a very affluent neighborhood, a lot of doctors and lawyers. And my kids would always be like, yo, Ma, what's up? And I'd be like, well, you know, only one of you could go to the movies this weekend.
Yeah.
It was rough, though. But it was extremely hard, and it's been terribly difficult. But I feel it is my path, and it was chosen for me. And I am definitely of the school of thought that you only fail when you give up.
Yeah.
And I am not giving up. No. I have never given up. You fight me to death.
And, good for you.
You know, and that makes me a bit of a problem when it comes to other lawyers. You know, my motivation has never been money, ever. And I have an advantage. And I believe God is with me in the work I'm doing.
100%. 100%.
I hope so, because I got a lot to make up for.
So for our listeners, we're kind of going into our last segment for the show. But for our listeners, Patricia, please share two or three pearls of encouragement, you know, resources. If you have a book or a blog or a website, I mean, anything that we can get our listeners connected to give them some hope, to give them some direction on how to protect themselves and their children.
Thank you for asking. I mean, I do a radio show every Monday here in New York on WRCR Radio, 1700 AM. And it's Alive at 5 Drive. And it is the Good Health Lawyer Radio Hour. And, you know, we have really exciting discussions with, you know, brilliant people. A lot of doctors. Like, I always, when I was growing up, I thought doctors were, like, almost untouchable. They were so brilliant. And then you cross-examine a few. I'm like, over here, doctor. Remember in Vinny when he was held up the pen and he's going, over here.
Over here, over here.
I was in cross-examining this doctor. It was like birds flying around. I couldn't believe her eyes were rolling in her head. And she's like, you know, God at Harvard or something. And, you know, and then I realized very quickly, and I'm not diminishing doctors,
because, sure,
you know, the doctors that have treated me, a lot of patients,
yeah,
and are very kind. But I do know when I speak to them, they're shocked at the things I tell them. So anyway, the Good Health Lawyer Radio Hour is great. And you can certainly go to my website, and if you want to fill out the landing page, I will put you in our mailer. And, you know, it's nothing fancy, but I do put out information. I've won three cases in New York, three in the last year. And I'm the only lawyer that's won. Every other case was lost. And as far as individuals go, you know, I would really recommend you use common sense. You know, you have to do what is morally right for yourself and for others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really all I can say. I mean, I think if I thought a vaccine would help others, I'd be the first to get it, even if it meant a risk to me.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm risk averse. I'm not, but you gotta show me that, like, I'm going to be helping others, but if I'm going to be shedding it and manipulating the gene pool and contributing to pharma fraud and unethical conduct,
yeah,
like I said, you know, I'll fight you to death.
Yeah,
and I've really been through the ringer. You know, I've suffered greatly. I was, you know, targeted like Bobby Kennedy, and you know, and I was in this a long time before these other lawyers, 20 years ago. You know, now in the last 5-6 years, it's blown up and everybody's in there.
Yeah. But thank God, right? Because it thank God for that, right, though? Because it raises awareness, it takes some of the pressure off you, it validates what you've been saying for 20 years, and on and on and on and on. So God bless them. It's about time they're stepping up.
Yeah, well, you too. And, you know, and it's just, you just can't hide it anymore. The emperor has no clothes, you know. It's just an absolute, I know for me, I knew at 10 years old, I was like, this does not sound good.
Yeah.
Why would I drink polio?
Yeah.
Like, and I was just a little kid. But I've always been a little different and not easy, you know, especially now in lockdowns and censorship. You know, I've had my YouTube deactivated, Twitter deactivated, Facebook, you know, they don't even, I have 20,000 followers and I can't even get a post out.
Yeah.
I post something and it sits on my page. So the radio is extremely important.
Yes.
WRCR Radio, 1700 AM, The Good Health Lawyer Radio Hour, 5 p.m. Eastern every Monday. And, you know, please go to my Facebook and Twitter and follow me and like me. And you have to share for me.
Okay.
Since I'm shadow banned. And if you want to get on the mailing list, you can go to my webpage and, you know, fill out the form and we'll put you on the list.
What is the webpage again?
PatriciaFinnAttorney.com.
Okay. I've got it. And we will be sure and post it in the show notes. It'll be in the description. I'm going to be posting this out everywhere today. We're going live with this recording today, so there's not going to be a delay in getting this information out to our listeners.
I dropped you an article in Age of Autism about my case in the Supreme Court, and it has a link to donations. You know, this is completely funded through donations, and I know everybody is looking for green. I get it.
Yep.
You know, but this is very, very important. And you know, I have this case and the other case, and the families can't afford it. You know,
yeah.
I'll just tell you right now, they're hundreds of thousands. And, you know, I couldn't afford me. If I had to hire me, I couldn't. So that's where we're at.
Okay. So we'll get people directed to your website and the Good Health Lawyer Radio Hour. What were the call letters on that again? It was
WRCR.
WRCR.
1700 AM.
Got it. 5 a.m. New York time.
After Hannity.
Oh, okay. There you go. You got a good crowd.
Yeah, but I'm up higher on the dial than Hannity is.
You know, Patricia, I would love to let's promise that we'll do this again in the future as you have things come up or developments or you know, anything that you want to share with our listeners on this platform, by all means, we want to extend an open invitation to you to join us again.
Thank you. It was really nice to meet you. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you. For Patricia Flynn, this is Dan Young. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Total Wellness Radio. That will do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. And for more information on how to get connected with Patricia Finn, check out on the internet, WRCR.com, AM 1700, and tune in to her podcast, The Good Health Lawyer Podcast. Also, check out in the show description a link to ageofautism.com. There you'll find out much more information and get connected with resources that are truly valuable to you and your family regarding this most valuable topic. Take care, be blessed, and thank you for tuning into this episode of Total Wellness Radio.